"I wonder," said Hercule Poirot. He folded up the list, went to the door, and ordered Mahmoud to be brought to him. The stout dragoman was voluble. Words dripped from him in a rising flood.
"Always, always I am blamed. When anything happens, say always my fault, always my fault. When Lady Ellen Hunt sprained her ankle coming down from place of sacrifice, it is my fault, although she would go high-heeled shoes, and she's 60 at least, perhaps 70. My life, all one misery. Ah, what with miseries and iniquities Jews do to us!"
At last Poirot succeeded in stemming the flood and in getting in his question.
"Half-past 5 o'clock, you say?" "No. I not think any of servants were about then. You see, lunch is late, 2 o'clock. Then to clear it away, after lunch, all afternoon sleep." "Yes. Americans, they not take tea. We all settle sleep by 3:30. At 5, I, who am soul of efficiency, always, always I watch for the comfort of ladies and gentlemen I serving. I come out knowing that time all English ladies want tea, but no one there. They all gone walking. For me, that is very well, better than usual. I can go back sleep. At 5:45, trouble begin. Large English lady, very grand lady, come back and want tea, although boys are now laying for dinner. She makes quite fuss, says water must be boiling. I am to see myself. Ah, my good gentleman, what a life, what a life! I do all I can, always I blame, I—"
Poirot asked about the recriminations. "There's another small matter. The dead lady was angry with one of the boys. Do you know which one it was and what it was about?" Mahmoud's hands rose to heaven.
"Should I know? But naturally not. Old lady did not complain to me."
"Could you find out?"
"No, my good gentleman, that would be impossible. None of the boys admitted for a moment. Old lady angry, you say? Naturally boys would not tell. Abdul said Mohammed, and Mohammed said Aziz, and Aziz said Aisha, and so on. They are all very stupid Bedouin. Understand nothing."
He took a breath and continued.
"Now I have advantage of mission and education. I recite to you Keats, Shelley. I had a dove and a sweet dove died."
Poirot flinched. Though English was not his native tongue, he knew it well enough to suffer from the strange enunciation of Mahmoud.
"Superb," he said hastily. "Superb. Definitely, I recommend you to all my friends."
He contrived to escape from the dragoman's eloquence. Then he took his list to Colonel Carberry, whom he found in his office. Carberry pushed his tie a little more askew and asked,
"Got anything?"
Poirot said, "Shall I tell you a theory of mine?"
"If you like,"
said Colonel Carberry, and sighed. One way and another, he had heard a good many theories in the course of his existence. "My theory is that criminology is the easiest science in the world. One has only to let the criminal talk. Sooner or later, he will tell you everything."
"I remember you said something of the kind before. Who's been telling you things?"
"Everybody,"